Hey, check this shit out.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with my best buds in the world, Amanda, Randy, and Justin. How you all doing today?
Good.
Fabulous.
Couldn't be better.
Couldn't be better? Are you trying to tell me there's nothing that we, or better yet, a female friend of yours couldn't do to make you better?
Who's to say that's not happening right now as we speak?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, I guess. Are you just happy and glowing because of all of the amazing videos that have surfaced today?
You know what? That's definitely a contributing factor. Absolutely. I have had an entire weekend of excellent video watching.
I like the sound of that. Well, let's start off small scale. Let's go with Ant-Man. Justin, you saw it. You loved it. Tell us all about it.
I did. It's funny you say I loved it because I actually enjoyed it. It made me excited to see the movie again. I will say, though, that I was a little sad that they gave away such a funny moment at the final moments of the trailer with the Thomas train. And how it just falls apart, like, totally, like, something out of Night at the Museum kind of thing. Like, when, what's his cheese? Owen Wilson is the itty-bitty guy. That seems like one of those kind of effects, you know? But that would have been a lot funnier had it been saved for the big screen. But I enjoy it. Get to see him talk to ants. Get to see him get big and small and fight in epic battles. And it definitely has that Paul Rudd charm that we were worried it might not have been able to carry over, but it looks like it's there front and center.
Yeah, it looks fun. Looks like they're not going to take themselves too seriously. They understand the absurdity of the comic book character. But Randy, having seen the trailer, do you fear that they may become a little too self-deprecating with the whole Ant-Man gimmick, or do you think that Marvel won't let us down?
You know, I honestly think they're not going to let us down. The first trailer left a lot to be desired. I think this one feels more like what we're used to with Marvel. And I've gone from being kind of meh about it to happily, cautiously optimistic. So I'm on board. I think it's going to be cool.
I love it. Amanda, you got the last word. 15 seconds.
I was always on board. Yay.
Oh,
nice.
Wait, do we have rollover minutes? So if she
nope,
doesn't...
No rollover minutes. Now, since I shortchanged you on the Ant-Man trailer, the other big trailer today was the Terminator trailer. Amanda, what did you think of the Terminator trailer?
I thought, like, why did we have any other trailers before this one? Because it apparently is not the movie any of us thought it was going to be at all. Like,
it looks John, good. Is that what you're
John
saying?
John Connor is actually
you enjoyed yourself?
A Terminator.
And Amelia Clark actually, like, as a human being, like a personable person you want
right?
to act with?
Amelia Clark can actually play a human being?
She had sex with Arnold Schwarzenegger as a Terminator, and then she had...
Oh,
my God, maybe that's why John Connor's like a half a robot.
Yeah.
I think Justin, you just cracked that Da Vinci code.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about that reveal, Justin?
So, Amelia Clark sat on Arnold Schwarzenegger and... No.
This is a kids' show. We don't need the details.
I don't do kids' shows anymore. I am all about the birds and the bees these days.
All right, well, why don't you intricately, in 30 seconds, detail robot-on-person sex?
I can't do that. It's a very involved process.
Details.
You need.
Since when was this even ever conceived to be a kids' show?
You need water-resistant components, Dave, and that stuff's just not ready yet. Oh. It's like a GoPro casing inside of the Terminator. It's nuts.
She sat on the toilet seat after the Terminator had used the toilet. Who knows what he used it for?
Drained his
and the rest. Yeah, the rest was magic.
Oil change.
Shared his little magic electrical bubble that he teleports in.
Yes.
Yeah.
They got scrambled, kind of like The Fly.
The only thing I didn't like about the trailer was the future. I didn't really care for John Connor's like over the top performance. I didn't dig it.
I thought you were going to say his face.
I didn't like it either. It looked fake. It looked like an amateur hour of Phantom of the Opera or something.
I didn't like anything about John Connor in that trailer.
Boom.
Jason
Connor.
Well,
I guess he's the bad guy, though, so we're not supposed to like him.
It's an interesting twist to have him be the bad guy.
He's got
came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I don't know what we're supposed to do with that, though, if John Connor's not a good guy.
I think it's kind of brilliant because there's only so much you can do with Terminator when you're kind of retelling the same story or within a tight period of time that we've already seen in one cinematic universe. So I like the idea of flipping it upside down.
Good idea. I like the idea, too. Moving on. Avengers. Two new clips. Randy, you see them both? Tell us about them. Both had Hulk. Both were awesome. Tell the people about them.
All right. One was just seeing kind of a tender approach to dealing with the Hulk, with Black Widow trying to kind of soothe the Savage Beast and talk to him. The other one was very much the opposite, seeing Tony Stark in his Hulkbuster Iron Man suit just beating the shit out of him in the street. My favorite part about that was when one arm in the Hulkbuster suit gets destroyed from this hovering pod above the battle, all the bits and pieces to build a new arm immediately come back down and attach to the suit. So that was actually kind of really cool. I dig the shit out of it.
That sounds fake.
It is fake.
Well, it is.
No Iron Man.
It's 100% CGI, but it's still awesome.
No, they really shot that. As Justin says, this is the documentary about calling peace in South Africa.
There you go.
That's where it's taking place. Yeah. Do you see him, Amanda? What were your impressions?
I kind of felt like watching the fight with Iron Man and Hulk was kind of just... I don't know. I wasn't that impressed with it because it's out of context. I kind of wish I hadn't watched it so that I could just go into the movie cold turkey.
Hey, I'm in that boat.
Yeah.
Justin braved it. He's the only one who decided not to look into the arc, and he may be better off for it. We did get one tiny bit of plot information, but I won't spoil it for Justin. So because of that, we'll move on. Justin, sad day. Wonder Woman, new director. No woman director. Yeah. Talk about it.
Yeah, Michelle McLaren. She is no longer a part of Warner Brothers' new Wonder Woman movie.
Is this bad news?
I don't know. It was the whole idea was over creative differences. So this is interesting.
Unquote.
Right. So here's the real opportunity for one of these two big comic book publishers to step up and show that women can be amazing superheroes and can draw an audience. And now everyone's immediately going to be like, oh my God, what was wrong with this movie? Why? What is the problem between the producers and this director? What do they want? What does she want? What do we want?
Well, you know, it's funny because I heard what all this scuffle is about, and the creative difference is this. They're wanting to go a new direction with it, and it is now Wonder Man. So they did not want to have a woman directing Wonder Man.
Because what would a woman know about Wonder Man, right?
Yeah. So, you know, they had to ditch the female aspect of it altogether.
And he's like,
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that's what happened. It's terrible. Terrible.
He's a bread delivery man, drives a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think it's great that they wanted to hire a female director for Wonder Woman. But, I mean, she's a television director, and she's directed some of the best episodes of, you know, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, stuff like that. You know, could it possibly have been that, you know, maybe she was in over her head in a, you know, possible $150 million Hollywood tentpole movie? Yeah, I don't know.
So now it's either going to be Penny Marshall or Amy Heckerling. One of those two.
I'm down to either one of those.
I vote for Heckerling.
Me too.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, maybe Marvel will swoop in. They don't have a director for Captain Marvel yet. That's another female-led superhero film. Maybe they'll extend the offer and be like, look, we know DC is a bunch of dicks. Just come over to us. We'll let you do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
We can afford to let you women folk ruin a movie. We got a franchise going.
So yeah. And this movie was supposed to come out on June 23rd, 2017, and obviously that's still some time away, so it is quite possible it'll stick to that release date, but we do not know as of yet.
Yeah, I mean, the hard part, you know, Wonder Woman's already cast, I guess, mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's one fire put out.
Right. What if she leaves? She can't. She signed a contract.
Oh, yeah, they got her on for probably like 9 movies.
Yeah, she's already done BVS. DOJ.
DOJ. And signed on for Justice League Part 1 and Part 2 and her own movie and options for 2 sequels and I'm sure future Justice League films. So yeah, she's not going anywhere.
Nope. Maybe she can direct it too.
Yeah.
All my life, maybe I want to direct a big Hollywood movie. Always comes back to that.
It does. Well, speaking of Asian stereotypes, Olivia Munn's going to play Psylocke. Anyone have an opinion on that? I know, Amanda, you're real steepled into the Japanese culture. What do you think about the character of Psylocke?
I don't know anything Betsy about Broderick. Psylocke.
Oh, yeah?
You know, I don't
nope. I was not that into X-Men.
Randy, sorry, I know guys. You are a huge Psylocke fan. You know, her brother is Captain Britain. So
yeah,
you know all about Betsy Braddock, a.k.a.
It's funny because I had no idea the two were related until just this last weekend. Or actually at WonderCon, I was there with my wife, and she was looking at a Psylocke figure, and I said, oh, cool, I didn't know you had any kind of interest in that character. She said, yeah, that's the sister of Captain Britain, which is like the only Marvel character that she really follows and has action figures of. It's kind of funny. I really don't know anything about her other than the fact that she wears skimpy little outfits, and there was a Comic-Con exclusive statue of her that sells for quite a bit of money that a lot of people seem to like from last year.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah,
I guess we kind of buried the lead. Olivia Munn is going to play Psylocke in X-Men Apocalypse.
What?
I know Justin loves Olivia Munn, as do I. So, Justin, what are your thoughts on Olivia Munn as Psylocke?
Crazy Town Banana Pants. I'm all over it. And
in
the banana is in my pants.
Like, you... Never mind.
Yes.
We don't go graphic with it. Peeled
I'm going to take it out and eat it and watch the movie and enjoy it. Ooh. She's really smart. You know, she is one of those financial... analyst? And
no, that's Sloane Sabbath. Oh. She played on Newsroom.
She's that was really another character.
She's really smart. She knows a thing or two. She's a fine young woman. Uptown all the way.
Now she's going to create purple psionic blades out of nowhere and slash fools.
That's scary, Dave.
It is scary, but it's kind of cool. Because, you know, Jennifer Lawrence has said this is her last film. I'm assuming James McAvoy and Fassbender go away after this as well. So they're really, I think, setting up the next class. You know, they've cast their Angel, they've cast their Cyclops, their Beast, or not their Beast, their Cyclops, their Storm.
The Jean Grey.
And now they got the Jean Grey, the Nightcrawler. So, I mean, they're really filling out this cast. So.
I still don't get where this is a problem, though, because it's in the 80s and we see them in the 2000s. Like, we know they're going to make it. I'm not at all worried about any character that's going to be in this movie.
You know how comic
books. Which is why they're introducing a bunch of new characters that we haven't seen in future versions.
So they can die and we'll never see them again?
So that you don't know.
How sad.
Wah, wah.
Maybe they form their own little group and splinter off and do something else.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Speaking of stuff like that, Mark Ruffalo kind of dropped a bomb today that no one knew. It was that Universal still owns the rights to standalone Hulk films.
Yeah,
I think everyone thought that the Hulk franchise had reverted back to Marvel since they made Hulk such a big character of the Avengers. But Universal still owns the rights to Hulk standalone movies.
Yeah, I thought that was part of some package deal though, where they traded a bunch of other things for that move for the licensing rights to Hulk. But I guess I forgot. It might have been another package deal where it was like, some studio traded something for like Friday the 13th rights or something like that. I remember some big old package deal, but somehow I thought that Hulk was tied to it. And I was going batshit crazy trying to think about it. So clearly I just had a dream and it's all a lie. I took the wrong pill.
That's all right.
Still in the Matrix.
Shit happens.
What can you do?
Nothing. You know what you can do?
Watch Daredevil.
Randy. For you fans, Randy tirelessly stayed up with toothpicks in his eyes like Clockwork Orange style and watched all 10 episodes of Daredevil. So, Randy, encapsulate 10 hours of glory into 2.5 minutes of conversation.
I can probably do it in less than that.
Whoa.
Let me tell you my absolute favorite thing about this series. The villain, actually. The handling of Kingpin is absolutely amazing. Now, I know those of you who have started watching it, you may be only a couple episodes in, maybe you haven't watched it all. I'm going to try not to spoil it for you, but I will say that for the first time, I think ever, or at least in recent memory, that a comic book villain on TV has been given an incredible amount of vulnerability, of warmth, of deep kind of character flaws, but all of it kind of comes together so that you kind of sympathize with this guy and you kind of really come to like him. But he's still a pretty big D-bag when all is said and done. But it is a really interesting journey with this villain character. And I care, as awkward as it may sound, I care just as much about him as I do about Daredevil himself. And let me put this question to you guys. I know you haven't watched much of it yet. So you've seen him in the outfit that he kind of goes out and fights crime in at this point. It's just like basically black shirt, black pants, and this hat. Like, imagine, what's the character? Oh, the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Right.
From Princess Bride.
Imagine without that, eye holes.
But without eye holes.
Right.
Yeah. That exact outfit, right? So when do you think in this 10-episode first season arc, when do you think is the first time we see him in his red suit?
Isn't it 13 episodes?
Is it 13? I don't know. I watched it all.
I would say 13. The 13th episode.
David, what do you think?
I would say, I'll go 13.
Amanda, what would you say?
I have no idea.
Got no horse in the race. You guys are right. It's number 13.
The very last episode.
Like the last 5 minutes of the season, you see him in his outfit. And you know what? I preferred the Dread Pirate Roberts look because I wasn't a real big fan of at least the headpiece. Like where the horns are placed feels awkward. To me, I think it would have worked better almost more to the side, like Batman ear kind of things. And I know their horns are coming out of the forehead, but it just feels weird to me. The whole suit just feels awkward, but I think it'll feel better when I see it in action more. But the action and the choreography is amazing. The storytelling is great. The cast, it's got like the bully annoying kid from fucking Mighty Ducks movies as Matt Murdock's sidekick all throughout the series. And I thought I would hate this kid.
Oh, that's who he is? The kid that hits the puck all hard?
1 in 5.
Yeah.
He was funny. Also in Catching Fire. Or not Catching Fire, sorry, Mockingjay.
Yeah, part 1 and 2.
I missed that movie.
So, yeah, I didn't think I would like him, but he's actually got kind of a fun character. And
first of all, Fulton was not a bully in the Mighty Ducks. He protected the Ducks.
Yeah. Okay.
And he protected him from the Hawks.
Yeah. I just remember him being
a big beefy dude.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm glad to see that even though hockey didn't work out for him, he was still able to be successful and become an attorney.
Yeah, you can't make 1 in 5 and expect to succeed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say this stuff, Randy, because when it was first being pitched, it was being told as, you know, we would see the rise of not only Daredevil, but also the Kingpin, and that their stories would almost like mirror each other. And so I'm excited to see that the Kingpin is getting the love that he so desperately deserves. And Vincent D'Onofrio is an awesome actor.
He is, and I love every moment that he's on screen. I'm enamored with his storyline. He makes love to the camera, and he makes love to ladies in front of the camera, and you get to see all.
Nice. What would you give it? What would you grade the series as a whole?
As a whole, I would give it a good, solid A.
Really?
Not an A minus, not an A plus, but a solid A. It's pretty darn good right out the gates. So I know it might feel slow. You guys are a couple episodes in. You're kind of like, meh, whatever. Give it a go, because once they start building on the Kingpin character, I think you'll really start getting excited about it.
Now, is this a show that benefits from a binge watch, you know, to where it's able to mask like the lulls because you're rapid fire? Is this something that you can let rumiate in air like a fine wine and watch it at your leisure?
I mean, obviously, you should never feel pressured to binge watch anything, so watch it at your leisure. But if you have the opportunity to power through a few episodes in one sitting, I think it's going to benefit you. I think it helps draw you into the world, and maybe that's why I enjoyed it as much as I did, because I was able to watch it the entire run between Friday and Saturday. By midnight Saturday, I was done. So I think I enjoyed it more probably because I was able to immerse myself into the universe, into Hell's Kitchen, and just, you know, be there for the ride.
And I like it.
It was fun. It was fun. I find myself full of a lot of negativity on the podcast lately, and I don't like that. I like to like things. I want to like things. And this one I actually like, so that made me happy.
Well, let's switch gears onto something dumb. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Boring.
Oh, it was so boring.
Dude, just wait. Okay, now, I don't know if you guys have heard this. I'm sure you probably have, and I'm sure a lot of our listening audience probably has as well. But I'm just saying, there's some leaked episodes out there. If you wanted to, you know, in the next day or so, find yourself through the first half of the season, you could find the episodes online to get you there. And let me tell you, I understand that the first episode was a little bit slow, but it does get better. There are more deaths. There's more of the sexo.
Some you sound like the guy action. Who just got naked in front of a girl and it's like, it gets bigger.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a grower, not a shower.
So, okay, the opening had a fun little flashback for Cersei Lannister.
And boring.
No. This is important because a couple of, two months ago, we had Mr. Rod Faulkner on the show, and somehow I found a way to empathize with this poor woman. I say poor even though she's rich and sits in King's Landing. But in book four, you really get to see how crazy Cersei Lannister really is and how the whole world is out to get her and how paranoid she is. And you have to believe that this interaction with this little fortune teller was what, you know, planted that seed of doubt in her mind.
I totally agree. But I think it could have been 30 seconds instead of 4 minutes.
Hey, just calm down, Dave.
The key point was that you're going to get old and the new hotness is going to replace you.
Right.
That's done. Nice.
That's
credits.
That's the way things work.
Cut to that weird map, little dealio. Right. We don't need like this whole like other parts.
You'll have to forgive the crudity of this model. It's not built to scale.
It didn't have time.
That scene was definitely way too long. I was thinking like, why are we watching these random chicks? Like, why am I sitting here watching these random girls that I've never seen before?
Yeah, it was a very, very slow episode, and I actually fell asleep. I woke up to the credits, and I had to rewind to find out what happened.
I thought it was in a bizarre world. My favorite part of the show is had Sansa in it, for Christ's sake, when she's talking to Littlefinger, and he's like, oh, he wouldn't have betrayed us. And Littlefinger's like, well, do you trust everybody here? And you could just see her, like, just learning. Like, I'm more interested in, like, Sansa's development at this point because she's with Littlefinger than almost anybody else in the show.
Oh, I know. She's grown up to be quite the young lady.
That's right.
Her voice is all deeper now, and she's learning from the best. At least half of the best that Westeros has to offer. Because I think we're all pretty divided on who is smarter, either Varys or Littlefinger. They're both very good at what they do. They just have two very different ways of getting the job done.
And correct
still
me if
remains
I'm wrong,
to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but with Baelish right now, we're in completely new territory. Right?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
We have no idea where the fuck they're going right now.
Right. And I'm excited about that.
They just ditched little Robin Aaron.
thank God.
That was a funny. Awesome watch line. Get his like, ass kicked. For like
he has other talent.
Yeah, like his other gifts.
Like
other
what?
Gifts.
His name. Other yeah. gifts, yeah. Like a strong name.
Yeah. That was funny shit, dude. And that's good because I hated in the book when Sansa's taking care of him, right? And she's almost like a babysitter for that punk ass. And the whole time she could just tell that she's just grinding her teeth at how frustrated she is taking care of this little sickly boy. And I'm glad that we're done with that.
2 minutes in the episode, they ditch the fucker.
Yeah.
And so Baelish go off on their own adventure.
This is a perfect example of how adapted material doesn't need to follow the source material. It can be better in a lot of ways. And I'm okay with this.
I don't even know what else happens.
There's a fire at the end.
Gets his throat slit, and Daenerys' dragons are still pissed at her, and Tyrion's trying to drink himself to death.
Yeah.
They need to get Tyrion to Daenerys ASAP.
Yeah.
I don't want,
fast.
I don't want episodes of them on the fucking road to Meereen.
No. Well, I will tell you this. By the end of episode 4, still not there yet.
Ugh. Fuck, by the end of book 5, she's still just sitting around doing nothing, so I'm not even remotely surprised.
Ugh.
Not a fan. Not a fan of the D.
Daenerys, maybe.
That's what I said.
I'm trying to compensate. We know you're a big fan of the D.
Oh yeah, I like the D.
Well, I don't know if you're a big fan of the D or if you're just a fan of Big D or both.
Both.
He's a big fan of Big D.
Yes.
There you go. Why choose?
There you go.
Dude, he was given two hands so he could have two in his hands at any time.
What was up with Stannis' wife smiling when Mance is getting all burned up? It's kind of creepy, right?
Yeah, they just have to remind us that, Stannis is married.
She's a, what do you call? She's really into the Lord of the Light or whatever.
Yeah, religious fanatics are terrible people.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
They just need to get their fucking election over with the Night's Watch.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't drag on.
Okay, so you know what happens to them.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
It's dealt with swiftly.
I hope that Mr. Janos Slint is dealt with swiftly. I hate that fucking guy.
Where's Janos Slint feature into this watch currently, Randy?
Who?
He's the bald dude who's always eyeing Jon Snow and being pissed at him.
Oh, that's dealt with swiftly. The same episode as the election.
Thank goodness.
It's well done.
Decisive?
Oh, very much so.
I was like at a stopping point in book five. And I was in bed reading, and then after I read that, I read for like another 4 hours because I was just
so fired up.
Yeah. Oh, it's handled very well in the show.
All right. So I am looking forward to the next episode because this one put me to sleep. I need a little bit more juice in my episodes.
I'm loving what's going on with Arya's storyline. I could watch an entire episode of just that. I think that's a lot of fun. And I'm not confirming that I have seen these leaked episodes, but if I had, I would have a big smile on my face right now.
You just received the press screener.
What can you do?
You received it through legitimate sources.
Through legitimate channels. Yeah.
Oh, what do you think, Amanda? We kind of droned on. What were your impressions of the episode other than boring?
I didn't have any.
give us a positive.
I don't like how Bran was still mean with Pod. Why does she gotta be a bitch?
Because she's a bitch.
Everyone likes her, and she's a fucking...
She's insecure. Life's not what she thought it was gonna be.
How can you not like Pod? He's like the nicest... He's like the only one in Westeros I'm probably... That you would, like, root for.
Right.
I want him to be king.
She's just feeling insecure and embarrassed because she can't get anything done.
She's terrible. She should be fired from her quest. Relieved of her vow.
Well, like everyone she's charged to protect doesn't have to be around her.
Yeah.
Like the opposite of a protector.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
No. But I like Pod.
Mm-hmm.
I like everyone's like supporting cast, but not the main cast. Weird like that, I guess. I like Varys.
They're the ones that they're really the machine that makes the whole world work. They're the little guys. That's how this story is told.
Yeah.
All the little people on the sidelines are the ones that are really in control. It's awesome.
They're the best.
Yeah.
Maybe the end of book seven will be an epic showdown between Baelish and Varys. For the Iron Throne.
Now we're talking. They should just share it. Put a line of tape down the center of it. And they both sit on it.
Yeah. Or this is something like just lap. Yeah, Varys is a eunuch, so it's not like he's going to get anything in the way.
There you go.
You got no junk. He's like an Unsullied. I did feel bad when the one Unsullied got his throat slit.
Yeah. It was interesting how they chose someone that looked kind of like the Grey Worm guy.
Yeah. I was so confused. I was like, did he get older? Yeah.
Now, does he die in the books?
Who?
Grey Worm? Yeah.
No.
Interesting.
Well, not
okay.
yet.
Dang, thanks for ruining it.
Spoiler alert, Randy. Way to ruin it for us.
Oh, I was just asking.
Oh, I didn't even read it this question that way. Aw.
I did. Thanks a lot. He was my favorite. Aww. I was looking for him.
Jon Snow and Cersei kill each other.
Poor Missandei. She really likes him.
Yeah, well, now she can get someone who has a penis.
Maybe she didn't want someone with a penis.
She was in Furious 7.
She was. She was Ramsay. Yeah. Which made $1 trillion more.
Yeah, it's like $800 gajillion.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It's made like $758 million worldwide. Opened in China this week.
I thought it was 800 worldwide now.
Maybe after today.
I think after today.
I believe you. I thought I was at like 758. But maybe I had the old deets and you had the new deets.
Yeah, I got a telegram from Universal.
Like Western Union?
Some fucking guy showed up at my door and told me. It's amazing.
We took bets whether or not you'd be here or not.
Yeah. Showed up in a raincoat.
You're right, Rand. You're right, Justin. It's $801 million.
Oh, there you go.
I should know better than to think you're wrong.
This is true.
So yeah, Game of Thrones. Hopefully it gets better. Just me.
Got me guessing.
Yeah, well, at least now we know the Grey Worm dies. Thanks, Randy.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying that he comes very close to dying, and it's left as a cliffhanger at the end of the episode that I watched recently. If I watched the episode. I'm not saying I did, but if I had.
Watching too much Daredevil. You got the Matt Murdock School of Law there.
Sorry about your meltdown, Knight. What meltdown? Yeah. I'm not saying that you had one, but, you know, just in case.
Did anyone ever tell you to check your optics?
Yeah, it's your own fault, Knight. Yeah. Did anyone ever tell you to make sure your optics were clean?
You unbelievable son of a bitch. Yay, Real Genius.
That damn movie. Oh,
aside from it. Real amazing Real Genius quotes, anyone else got anything else? Anything else fun?
Mortal Kombat 10 came out.
Yeah.
Right now.
It's out?
Yeah, my shit's downloading right now.
It looks pretty good.
You know what's better than Mortal Kombat 10?
Nothing.
Fucking Star Wars Celebration in just a couple days.
No, I'm going to be in your bed in like...
You're going to be in my ass in like...
Oh.
3 days time.
What's today, right? It's already Tuesday
Tuesday, yeah. So you're coming out tomorrow, right?
Yes. Holy shit.
Don't
you forget about me at the airport.
Dude, I got the car full of gas. I got the kitchen full of blood oranges for you. We're going to make a fucking party.
Josh said that this is so funny. He sends me a text. He says, Randy's going to eat a blood orange over you while you're sleeping.
Did you show people the video I sent you?
Yeah, Game of Thrones style.
Oh my god, I hate those fucking things so
much. It's a disturbing video.
That video is amazing. Oh, I got blood on my beard.
Oh, the
We'll have to put that up on Geek Legacy so everybody can see it. It's an amazing video.
Thing and everything that you ever need to know about Randy Van Dyke can be summed up in about a 13-second video.
Yeah. Of me eating a blood orange and taunting Justin.
Ugh. Don't like it.
It's going up with the podcast. It's going to be in the podcast page.
Oh, yes. You know what we should do? We should do like a live recorded show from Celebration. Like one of the little after parties or something we'll go to. We'll get a few drinks in us. We'll have a little pocket recorder there. We'll just kind of, you know, maybe do a little 20-minute segment that we can cut into next week's episode. Just a little something, you know, to capture our Star Wars Celebration high. Right. Because I look forward to this more than Comic-Con. This is my fandom of choice.
You're not going to make it out alive out of your little sex show that you're going to.
Yeah, you're going to the Fidelio. Dude. The traitor show. They're going to murder you.
We're never going to see you again.
Justin's going to call me like 3 in the morning. Like, hey, Randy was my ride home and he's dead. Pick me up.
It's going to be so freaking amazing. Remember last week's show, I was telling you guys, I put up a bunch of stuff on eBay to sell just to raise some capital. Everything sold. Pretty much more than I was expecting. I'm going to be dropping cash like a rapper in a strip club.
Or you could save some of that money.
No.
Or anyone going to Celebration. If you run into Randy, he's going to have a pocket full of cash. So, you know.
You're going to be wearing one of those Frommer's wallets under your shirt. Yeah.
you know, the great thing about it is most vendors, or at least a lot of private parties for these room sales that are happening, we'll take PayPal, so you can send it right from your phone right then and there.
Do they take Republican credits?
This is like Tatooine. They're no good here. Republic credits are no good here.
Well, that sucks.
But the cool thing is you can drop a lot of cash without actually having to carry it. So I don't intend to have that much money on me. I'm like a pizza delivery boy. I don't carry more than a 20.
Oh.
Well, damn it. I was going to roll you in the parking lot.
No walk-ups. Don't carry more than 20.
Yeah.
Do they accept Apple Pay? Can you just slam your phone onto their desk and then they get their money? Is that how it works?
You slide your watch over there.
Don't you beat the shit out of your phone to get the money out?
You do not. You get it near it.
Oh.
Think of it like an amiibo.
Oh, okay. It's like NFC technology.
Yeah. You haven't used Apple Pay?
No.
Pretty fun. A lot of places will give you free shit if you use Apple Pay. So.
Really?
Like what?
I don't know.
Like stickers? Starbucks.
Like if you used Apple. Like if you used Apple Pay. Like you got like your next drink was free and. Like baseball games, like if you use Apple Pay, like if you bought like a hot dog or something, they give you a free drink and shit like that.
Oh.
And most places have like contests, like at the baseball games, like every time you used Apple Pay, you got entered to win like, you know, all these different prizes.
How is it that I don't go anywhere that's offering any of this stuff? Because this is completely a foreign concept.
Because it's from the future. No one's doing it yet.
Yeah. Maybe so. A lot of people start to use Apple Pay, especially now with the watches. With the Apple Watch going to be.
Oh yeah, what's up with that shit being on my phone now? Even though I don't have one.
You did the 8.3 update.
The icons, yeah.
Did you notice you have ethnic emoticons now too?
Yeah, of course. I'm an ethnic guy.
Yeah. Well, now you have black and Mexican and Asians.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yes. So now we can be. And racial emoticons.
I know. I used to have to use like eggplants and octopus to try and translate stuff, and it didn't work out. Yep. And now I actually get little faces.
That's right. And then the families now, they have like same-sex families.
I know. I saw that. It's awesome.
Like man-man kid and woman-woman kid.
So cool.
Apple's progressive.
Yeah. Progressive.
Celebration.
Yep.
You're going. Hit us up on Twitter if you're going to Celebration at Geek Legacy.
Yeah.
Justin and Randy will be there. I think is Steven going too?
Yeah, I don't know what day though. Friday.
We got some pretty cool stuff we're giving away. We're debuting our brand new Geek Legacy pins or buttons rather. And we got some cool swag. So if you see us wearing our Geek Legacy gear, come hit us up. We'll give you some cool free shit.
I like free shit.
You heard it here.
Can I have free shit?
Food stamps. We'll give you
EBT.
Free shit.
To use the Chavez Palace.
Anyone else got any fun stuff other than Celebration?
Mortal Kombat!
And Mortal Kombat.
I got to play.
Yeah.
That is it.
Out of the Mortal Kombat roster, Justin, how many are new characters and how many are old characters? Because
I think
I was under the impression that it was going to be like all new characters, and now it's like seems like all old characters.
No, there's 29 total characters if you count a season pass, but I'm pretty sure I think it's 9 new characters off the top of my head.
Really? So it's mostly old characters.
Yeah. Older.
So Boone and Tobias, I guess Tobias isn't doing it anymore. Boone lied to us. Ed Boone, you're a liar.
Why is he lying?
Didn't he say it was going to be like new people?
He said it will feature new characters, but I don't know if he said all new people. People need their crowd pleasers. Can't have Mortal Kombat without Scorpion and Sub-Zero and Shang Tsung and Sonya and Jax and Johnny Cage and Kano and Raiden.
No one plays Sonya. No one plays Jax. I agree. You need Sub-Zero. You need Sonya. You need the Shang Tsung. But other than that, Raiden, you know, other than that, no one plays the other fuckers.
Yeah, Raiden's a little bitch. I don't like him.
He goes like, blah, 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 blah.
His little Superman move? I know, I never even knew what he said. It was disturbing. It's like he's got like it's like a combination of Tourette's and like Asperger's. I don't know. Shout out shit.
I'm excited because when the new Mortal Kombat game comes out, someone will upload the whole story mode and I can just watch like the 2-hour movie on YouTube.
There you go.
And it's awesome. I recommend everyone do that for the past Mortal Kombat games because they're pretty incredible.
Yeah. My last one was fun. And I'm really looking forward to this one. My favorite part's always the crypt, unlocking all the shit. That's one of my favorite things. It's all about unlockables in this game.
That's a lot of shit.
Anyway, that's all I got.
Alternate tracks.
Let's put a pin in this.
And sweet. Any shout-outs anybody got?
I'm just going to shout out you.
Oh, yeah? I'll shout you out. We'll do cross shout-outs.
I'd like to shout out a quick shout-out to Dave Edmondson, who's amazing, and I love him, and I want him to have my kids.
I'm going to shout out to Justin, who I agree with everything he says, and I love him too, but I already have kids. And I can't have no more kids. Two's enough.
One, I can go inside you?
Ooh. I like where this is going.
We can make this work, Dave.
Yeah. Well, you're coming down here. I'm probably going up to Seattle sometime next month. We got room to, we got some rendezvous time, I think.
Yeah.
What was that? A three-man human centipede.
Yeah. So that 500 nonsense. That's just germs. Lots of germs.
All the nutrients are completely out of that poop by the makes it to number 500.
No, they take one of those like those alcohol swabs and they swab it once. So it's okay. No germs.
Remember that shirt that I sent you guys where it was like, nothing says I love you quite like fisting?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
That was at your Target, right?
No. That was at a store, but it was on the Twitter there. It was in the children's section, I guess. Which is even more amazing.
Kids need love, too.
Yes, they do.
Saw a kid wearing that, you instantly report their parents.
Yes.
Are you kidding? If it was a boy, I'd give him a high five.
No, you wouldn't.
Like, fuck yeah, little man.
You wouldn't. Anyway, check us out.
You wouldn't interact with a kid.
We're done.
All right, any shout-outs, Justin? Any shout-outs, Randy?
Done. We're done. We're done.
Okay, okay. Can I talk?
No, you can't. We're done.
All right. Thank you for joining us for another fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Make sure you go and hang out with our other buddies, Tony Tolato at scifitalk.com and Tim Byers at thefullbleed.net. And tell them we sent you because they ain't sending us people. So maybe if they know we send them people, they'll send us people, and then our people can rumble with their people. It'll be a whole thing. But definitely check them out. Also, go to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. And while you're there, check out our other podcast. It's got the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Stephen K. James, which I highly recommend. Every Friday, they fill my ear holes with some wonderful, wonderful video game news. And then every other Friday, we got the Comic Corner Podcast with Tyler and Jeff, the Mighty Jerd. And this week, they did a real good Daredevil Spectacular, where they went over all their favorite Daredevil stories from years past. And it was very informative and very educational, and I highly recommend it. Other than that, like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there at Geek Legacy, and if you got any info, any questions, comments, concerns, email us at info@geeklegacy.com.